for your mercy and your kindness. As we enter your word this morning, we enter in with the reverence that the word deserves, being fully conscious of our human limitations to deliver as well as to receive this word as we should. So I ask that you will anoint me afresh, Father. Make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Help me speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Lord God, and I pray the same unction be put on the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me now, Lord, and those who are hearing me remotely electronically, that the word will have free course from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, causing our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, our emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Pray for every heart, including mine, that our wills become more humble, Lord God, so that there will be a clear channel through which lights can flow, Lord God, to give us a revelation, a greater degree of revelation. And the power of God will follow this, Lord God, to heal, to deliver, to break yokes and free men, so that they'll become doers of the things which they hear, and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to deliver this word with precision, to redeem the time and speak only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessing in their life, said, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to finish it today by the grace of God. It's a great chapter on the resurrection. And in our last lesson, Paul, we read from verses 35 to 30, almost to 50, I think to 49, somewhere in there, you know, and the Apostle Paul was telling us, you know, the way the natural man thinks. He said, you know, the man would say, what kind of body, if the person has died, what kind of body, if there's resurrection from dead, what kind of body is going to come with, you know? We all know what happens to a body when it dies. It decays, you know, it gets into corruption, it decays, it putrefies, you know, after many, many, many years, you know, it just becomes almost brittle like dust, you know. And so it says, what body? And then it says, you know, don't be foolish, you know. The same thing happens when you plant a seed. When you plant a seed, you know, the seed that you plant is not the one that comes up after it grows. You know, for example, I gave the example last week of tomato seeds. If tomato seeds are just tiny like that, you put them in the ground, and then, the stalk comes up, you know, the branches come out, you know, and then you start seeing this, first of all, it's green, then after a while, it changes color to red when it becomes, you know, it doesn't look anything like the seed you put in the ground. So it says, so is the resurrection of the dead. And it uses that simple natural illustration to prove this great spiritual truth. So you must understand the resurrection as a harvest of the seed of the life of God that is planted into the earth. Listen to this: when your body is planted in burial. So when you're buried, it's actually planting a seed. It's just like what happens when a body is, you know, when you plant a seed of tomato. You planted a seed. The resurrection day is the harvest day. It will come up. But it's not going to come up the way it went down. It's sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. You know, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown the mortal is raised in immortality. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. When you understand that, you know, then it's easy for you to appreciate the reality of the resurrection and, most importantly, prepare for it. Now, this is the big problem. Sadly and regrettably, today, the reality and the truth of life after death is hardly preached in the church. The church is so materialistic today. How many messages do you hear on the resurrection? If you even hear anything at all, it's some childish, very childish, myopic, this thing about how when we get to heaven, we're all going to sing and just, you know, sing and clap, and how we're going to go to heaven, and it's all going to be one nice big party, which is not untrue. It is true, but that's not the whole truth at all. You're talking about, you know, a one-day event out of an eternity of existence. It's just like somebody saying that, you know, everything about the university is only on the day of graduation, you know, or the day of matriculation party, and when your parents come and they cook rice and everybody eats, and you know, he hasn't graduated, he's only matriculated, you know, and everybody making noise and everything, and that's not the whole university. It's just a one day celebration of the fact that you have matriculated. There's going to be a day where we're all going to be in heaven, where Jesus is going to come and everybody will come back and we'll have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Just a one-day event. Then what happens after that? You're not going to have... Oh my God. You know, Bible says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. And it's spiritual childishness that causes us to think like that. It's not wrong. It's just that it's very incomplete. Now, life continues. Men and boys and girls were, you know, resurrected. They rule. Now, not everybody. Hallelujah. There's a whole universe out there for us to rule and reign over. Amen. You know, great, great things we're going to do with God. It's not just going to end with a big party. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the issue, I mentioned this in my last lesson, the issue of the resurrection, which, excuse me, many, many of us forget or we're ignorant of, you know, is the fact that the quality of our Christian conduct, this is where works come in. So we're not saved by works. Hello? We're saved by faith in the sufferings, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that saves men. That's why God put the story of the robber, you know, in the Bible, so that people will know that it's not by works. That guy who was, you know, the thief on the cross, went to heaven. He didn't do anything. Why? He couldn't. He was on the cross. And he died 2 minutes or 5 minutes later. Hello? There's no work he could have done. He couldn't have gone nowhere. That's why, you know, you throw out of the window all these silly doctrines of restitution and all of that. How can the guy on the cross do any restitution? So if he can't, so he won't go to heaven. Jesus said, today, you'll be in paradise. So it had nothing to do. That's why you are saved by faith and not by works. However, our works important, very important. Because your works will now determine two things. The order and the glory of your resurrection. That is the very, 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 very important part. Works are very important. So the way you conduct your Christian life, let's put it this way. The quality of your Christian conduct, your motives, your methods, your means, the way you live your Christian life, whether you do it by the Spirit or you do it by the flesh, whether you have the right motive or wrong motive, we now determine the kind of resurrection you're going to get. That's why in a great house there are many vessels. Very interesting, Paul by the Spirit will pick it. You know, at that time they didn't have the knowledge we have today of electricity and conduction, you know, but he uses gold, silver, you know, and wood and earth. Wood and earth are insulators. You know, whereas gold and silver are conductors, you know, talking about different quality of the vessel of the human body. Now, when you're resurrected, some people are going to be resurrected as gold, so to speak. You know, I'm using the symbolism. Some are going to be resurrected as silver. Now, gold has a greater glory than silver. Some are going to be resurrected. They're still resurrected. They're still in the house as wood. You know, if you take wood and you polish it, it looks fine. But you can't compare it to silver. Hello? And they're going to be resurrected as earth. And that shows you that there are going to be people, Christians, who will not have a glorified body. No wonder why Paul says they will suffer loss. He says, people will say, but that's why you don't mess around with things like fornication and adultery. You keep, if you practice that, I mean, if you, you know, people say, hey, David didn't once. See what it cost him. Amen. If you practice, as they that do, a better word in English is practice. They that habitually, you see, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Every time you keep practicing, God forbid, those kind of things, you are mortgaging away your spiritual future. That's why you need to take your Christian life very seriously. I thank God when I first heard this, I was a young Christian. I woke up quick. Yeah, God will forgive you. Oh, you see, issue is not forgiveness. Forgiveness will come. Are you listening to me? God will forgive you. Amen. But there will be a chastening. You know, they never preach that part. They all pray, oh, God will forgive. Yeah, God will forgive you. But what's it going to cost you? His reproach will not be wiped away. What is it going to cost you at the resurrection? I have to think about that. What's it going to cost you at the resurrection? What's it going to cost you? You know, if it's a one-off thing that you did and it's not a habit and you're working by the Spirit against it, it won't affect you. Amen. But if something you just keep doing, you know, continuously and say, oh, God will forgive me. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Yes, God will forgive you if you're sincere in your heart and you truly repent. But if you make it a habit, it's going to cost you. It cost David. It cost him long life. He died at 70 when he should have died at 120 or 130. Imagine David could have had an extra 70 years. Easily. Job was 140. Jehoiada was 100. And Caleb and all these guys, Moses 120. Easily. He could have easily had at least another 50 years. You can imagine if David had lived that extra 50 years, he would have built the temple and have set Solomon right. All this nonsense we're reading in the Bible will not be there. Oh, yes. That's why we need to make sure we get our act together. Now, so that's very important. Now, let's read verse 50. Let's read King James, yes. I will tell you when I want you to go away from the King James. King James is the baseline. Amen. I call it the original Bible. Amen. All the other ones are toy Bibles. When I was a young Christian, and I first bought, my first Bible was, I first of all had this toy, but you know when you're a new Christian, they give you anything they like. And you're a dodo, you don't know anything, so just, so you know, when I went to the fellowship, you know, they gave me this Good News for Modern Man. Then I bought New International Version, you know, because I was a young Christian, I didn't know anything, I was, it's only what they gave me, you know, all reasons. Then I began to pray and I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Then I started praying in tongues. Then the Holy Ghost said, go and get a real Bible. I can never forget it. You know, he said it in a joking kind of way. You know, he said, go and get a real Bible. He said, these ones are toy Bibles. So I went down the road and went to go and buy a Dix. Original. I was devouring it, you know, and the King James, and I now began to see there's just something about the King James, you know, because when they did the translation, they did not do a paraphrase. It was a word for word. They diligently compared the original words in the Hebrew and in the Greek and in the Aramaic, and then they put the equivalent English words. They didn't try and put their spin on it. That's why sometimes the King James also had, that also has a fault, because sometimes it does not give you the sense. That's why some of the normal translations many times are useful, and I use them, you know, but the baseline is the KJV. Anyway, that's my own spin on it, you know. And I tell you, I didn't get that from him. It didn't drop on me. I heard it. Yes, sir. I heard it from the fathers. I heard it from Papa Hagen. I heard it from, I read it from Old Wigglesworth. You know, all the, you know, I said, oh, no, there's nothing wrong with new translations. He said, but we, he says, your reading and your meditation should be in the King James. And then wherever the King James is not clear, then you refer to the other translations, but you don't feed. I just believed them. And you know what? Later on, many years down the road, I found it was true. Do you know that you will never get the truth about life scriptures if you read only the modern translations? They don't use that word. They just put revive me. Whereas the King James says quicken, which is give life, which is the exact thing. If you go back and go and check, and I've not only talked about last scripture, so about so many things, because the way they will translate it, it will just water down the meaning, and you don't grab it. But in the King James, for instance, there's a scripture that just come to my mind as another example. You know, the Bible says that watch and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape. Look at the word escape. Keep it. Then go to 2 Peter. It says, whereby are given unto us these exceeding great and precious ones, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped. Now that is the beauty of the King James. Those two escapes, they will connect them by the Spirit. In the other translations, you lose them. That's just the example. So take it from me. Amen. Stick with the real Bible. Now you can use the toy ones for references. Praise the Lord. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15. Amen. And, Jesus. Verse 50. Let's start from... We start from verse 50. We stopped in verse 49. Last I said, now this I say, brethren. I didn't hear you. Open your mouth. I did not hear you. If you are a brother, let me see you say it. That flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither corruption inherit incorruption. Stop! I want to bring out a thought here. And this is where that's why you need pastors and to teach you the Bible. You see, kingdom is talking about here. He's talking about the resurrection and the millennial. Now, it's not always that. That's in this context. Now, you know what happens in our mentality when we put kingdom? We will now take that, and every other place we see kingdom, we'll be thinking about the resurrection. Whereas it is true that when we now have resurrected bodies, and what we're talking about earlier on, we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, that's what he's talking about in this context. But generally, kingdom just means righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Truly, I'll be talking about that later on today. What kingdom really means is just dominion. It's just the dominion of God. That's why Jesus prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, not at the resurrection, but on earth. So I don't have to wait until the resurrection before I can inherit the kingdom. There is an inheriting of the kingdom here, which comes by the Spirit without measure. Now, that's why, you know, it's a stronghold. If you're not careful, you will think that kingdom is resurrection, and I'm not going to get it until when I get to heaven. Because you took the meaning of the kingdom in this context, and then you now generalized it. Is it clear? Now, if you don't have a man to explain that to you, and you just read intellectually, you will never get it. That's why you need to come to church. That's why you need to listen to the apostolic and prophetic preaching and teaching. Because it is going to bring down the nuances, the subtle nuances that are inside the word that the casual reader will not get. If we didn't listen to people like Papa Hagen, and all, there's so much stuff we will never know. We all read it, but who know? We'll not be reading it. We will not know what we are reading. That's why that guy asked Philip, the Ethiopian. He said, is the prophet speaking about himself? How can he know if they don't show him? Is he speaking about another? He said, how can I understand except some man show me? Now here, you know, you have the Holy Ghost, but there's a level of the Holy Ghost you have. There is another level of the Holy Ghost the pastor has. There's another level of the Holy Ghost the apostle has and the prophet. And so it's that level of the Holy Ghost that will now come and make you at your own level understand it. Amen. And then you will grow. Amen. Is it clear? Okay. Flesh and blood cannot. I like Paul, he can be extremely absolute. You know he's a lawyer. So careful about what he writes. It's legal. Cannot. It's not. There is no possibility. Inherit the kingdom of God. You know, we understand our kingdom means resurrection. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Now stop. Get another thought here. The thought here is this. He's talking about the living and the dead. Flesh and blood are people who are still alive physically. Corruption are people who are dead, whose physical bodies have decayed. So he's saying, the man who is alive with his physical body, and the guy who is dead, whose body has corrupted, has seen corruption in the grave, he said neither of them, you know, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, in the sense of the kingdom of God being the resurrection. In other words, let me paraphrase it, you know, and then we'll read the rest of the scripture. In other words, what he's saying is this: man in his natural physical body, and the body that is inside the grave, do you understand, have to be resurrected to inherit the kingdom. It shows another very important... let's move on. Don't let me get ahead of myself. Next verse. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Let's put it this way. One way or another. Hello? Next verse. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, what? Incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Amen. A glorious resurrection is ahead of us. I tell you something, Pastor G, I'm not going to miss that party for nothing. That's one party I'm not going to miss. And I'm not going to be late. Oh, you can't be late. That's why I said, be ready. Next verse. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. In other words, the one that is inside the grave that has seen corruption will be reconstituted and it will now put on incorruption. The one that has not yet died. So you're going to have two sets of people that are going to be raised from the dead. There will be those who are already inside the grave and there will be those who are still alive. He says, then, but the mortal... mortal means subject to death. This normal, natural, mortal body shall put on immortality. So whether you're dead or whether you are alive, you're going to be resurrected. This mortal must put on immortality. You see, the body I have now is a mortal body. The good news is this is just on the side way. You know, I can put life inside the mortal body. That the life of God be made manifest inside my mortal flesh. So I can enjoy the blessings of immortality inside this mortal body. It's part of the blessings of the age to come. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Oh, it's possible. You can live in this life. It says, if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead, he that raised Jesus shall give life to your mortal bodies. Can give life here, right now. So I don't have to wait on resurrection to enjoy some of, not the fullness, but some of the blessings, healing, health, renewal of youth, strength, hallelujah, divine protection. It's all available on this side. The problem with the church is having strongholds and mindsets. So we put everything in a box. This one is kingdom, is resurrection. We can't get it until then. Here, we don't know, you know, where else going to suffer. Jesus, you know, the devil can do anything. But when we get to heaven, we'll get the victory. You can have it now. Good. Next verse, verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, oh, I love this, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, guess what? This was written by the prophets. Yes, but the prophets didn't know what they were writing. It took Paul by revelation to be said, this is what the prophet meant. This is what the Holy Ghost meant when that prophet wrote this. Death is swallowed up in what? Next verse. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Give me this scripture in the Old Testament. I actually don't have that particular reference here, but it's somewhere in it's one of the minor prophets. Okay, here it's in Isaiah 28. He will swallow up death in victory. That's just one part. There's another place where it says, you know, grave, where is thy sting? Where in the world are you? Hosea, exactly. Thank you. I'm doing deliberately under instruction. I want to show you the vital importance of reading the whole Bible. One of the big problems we have today is half-educated Christians. You know, a half illiterate is worse than a stark literate, because a half illiterate thinks he knows. The illiterate knows he doesn't know, so he wants to learn. But the half illiterate, who does, he knows, but he doesn't know as he ought to know. And he goes about bragging all over. Now, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from the death. Oh, death, I will be. Oh, grave, I'll be thy destruction. Now, look at how Hosea put it under the Holy Spirit. By the Spirit. But look at how Paul picked it. Karakara, Baba Paul. See how Paul picked, by the Spirit, he picked it here a little, there a little. He picked this, then he joined it with the one in Isaiah. To give you a clear New Testament understanding of the resurrection. Is this clear? That's why you need to read the whole Bible. All scripture, not some scripture. All scripture is profitable for doctrine, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. What? Thoroughly furnished unto all good. Now, what's the corollary? If he doesn't have all scripture, he will never be perfect. Neither will he be thoroughly equipped. And that's why all these half illiterates, spiritual speaking, you know, who don't know their Bible or don't know the complete. That's why Paul said, I preach the whole counsel of God. I don't like the New Testament. Me, I don't like prophets. It always makes me afraid. I don't read the book of Revelation. Oh man, stupid, you know, stupid, childish. Yeah, I don't read it all. That's why you're not well-rounded. Because there's some things God is going to tell you. He'll go take a little from Hosea. Then he'll take a little from Isaiah. Then he'll go and take some from Timothy. Then he'll now jump to Philemon. Have you heard of that book before? You'll be amazed at the ignorance of Christians. Some guy just comes up to you in heaven, puts his hand around your neck and says, my name is Habakkuk. He said, who? Habakkuk? <who? laughs> I don't believe we exactly. All kinds of guys. You know, Haggai. And I have some deep truths. Zephaniah. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? So the prophets wrote it, but, you know, it wasn't one prophet. Isaiah wrote part, then Hosea wrote part. But Paul now takes them together to bring out this. Next verse, verse 56. The sting of death and the strength of sin is the law. Next verse. Hallelujah. Paul. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, this is not my main thing I want to preach now. You know, sin has a sting. Death has a sting. But all of them, both sin and death, and they're not the same, technically, you know, have been overcome through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hello? He said the strength of sin is the law. The law there is basically the moral code that God gave Moses, followed by all the Levitical ceremonies that God gave as a temporary measure to be able to cover that sin. But that thing is laborious. But thank God for Jesus. So through Jesus, all of that complication is taken care of in one thing, the blood. God, give the Lord a clap offering. Only the wisdom of God. All that complicated something. Just say, in Jesus' name I have life. I confess my sins, I clean with the blood. Finish. Finish. You took the sting out of it. You've taken the strength from the law. The strength of sin is the law. And then you say, in Jesus' name, I have life. That you have life, that you have the power of the Holy Spirit, and that power now gives you the power to do what the law said. That the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, which walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Neutralize, just cancel. He said, what says he? He says, a new covenant will I make with the house of Israel and the house of and house of Judah, and I will write my law in their hearts. He said, and you know what Paul said? I like Paul. He said, new. It means then the other one must be old. Jeremiah said that to thousands of years before. Paul, by revelation, he said, new. Then it means that this one we have now is old. And if it is old, then it has been disannulled. It's of no more. It's of none any. That was Paul's crime. Oh. That's why they hated him. How can you? When were you born? You said Moses is no longer relevant. Now, Paul didn't say Moses wasn't relevant. Jesus didn't say Moses wasn't relevant. He was just saying that the ceremonial observances that Moses gave us are no longer necessary. But we can still learn from Moses because we're still learning from the types and shadows. I have not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill their spiritual the spiritual realities that they symbolize. That's a correct paraphrase. Is it clear? I've not come to destroy the law and prophets. Now, we're not throwing away the Torah. We're not throwing away the prophet. We need them. There's so much spiritual truth that is hidden inside the Old Testament. But we're now not being led by the letter of the Spirit, the letter of the Word. Well, I don't have to go to Jerusalem now. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm not about GP. When I come back, I'll put it on the pulpit. GP. ignorance of that. I'm not marrying. The same. I'm going to. As if that's going to add anything to you spiritually. It's good for historical reasons. It's good for a nice holiday. I'm dead serious. I'm really serious. Yeah, go for a nice holiday. Look, and you can learn and get inspiration by looking at the Mount of Olives and listening to what the tour guide tells you. That this is the place where they buried David. And this, no. You learn a lot from that. You know, and you enjoy it. But it's not going to add to you spiritually. Trust me, they don't accept GP in heaven. let me say it in the corner of what I'm teaching. It will not increase the order and the glory of the resurrection. You know, the problem is religion is a terrible thing. You know, we take something that is legitimate, that is okay, then we make a god out of it. So, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. I've explained that. Next verse.
But thanks be to God. Everybody give the Lord a super clap offering. Hallelujah. Which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. Therefore, now I like Paul. He has said a lot of things. Talked about the resurrection and all that. Therefore, this is the cocoa of the oro. In our language, that means this is the crux of the matter. Do you understand? You know, this is what, this is the essence. Therefore, if you know and you believe that there is a resurrection, therefore, my beloved brethren, if you are beloved, maybe you are not beloved. Maybe that's why they don't believe it. They are not beloved brethren. This is written to the beloved brethren. Not even just the ordinary brethren, the beloved ones. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be what? Steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Give the Lord another clap offering. Oh, I've got another 5 minutes or so that I can take. Now, listen to what I'm about to say very, very carefully. As a Christian, you are not living for this world alone. You know why you should continue to pray and walk in the Spirit? Now, hey, it has nothing to do with Pastor Olubi said this. Mommy Sarah said this. Pastor Gwega said this. Your labor is not for human recognition. You fast, you pray, you're in one of the cluster groups, you're in Manchild, you're in Gideon, wherever you're in. You're not doing it for man. That labor is not in vain. Every time you come and you sow, you are sowing towards your personal resurrection. What's wrong with you? Oh yes! Oh yes! As you know, always about, you know, people get discouraged when they don't see people. You know, maybe a few people don't come, or you know, something doesn't happen, or nobody commends them, or nobody recognizes them. Then after 2 or 3 weeks, one more. Oh, they appreciate. Silly fellow. Thou fool. I'm only being scriptural. I've not said anything that's not in the Bible. Hello. No. It's very silly. It is very silly. Are you listening to me? No! My labor is in the Lord, is not in vain. Amen. The God who sits in heaven is rewarding me. Even if no man recognizes it, every time you say, Father, I confess in Jesus' name I have life, and you do it from a good heart, you get life into your soul, you pray, you go, you know what you've just done? You just increased the order of your resurrection. The glory. Because when you either before Jesus comes, which I believe is what we're going to see in our own generation, you know, or even if we die physically before that time, when that body is sown into the earth, the amount of life that has been passed through is sown with it. Nekarakara! So when it is resurrected, it is the measure. That will now determine the glory of that body. You're not doing it for me. Therefore, beloved brethren, I trust you are beloved. That's why you should be steadfast, unmovable. You know, the things of this life, they have their place. You know, but nothing in this life is going to now disturb me from my eternal destiny. So my work in the Lord. And look at the word work. You think of this is the work that we may believe on him. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. Remember? Amen. Labor in prayer. Labor in the word. That's the work. Says it will not, that labor for life, that labor in prayer, that labor in the word will not be in vain. It is going to add to the glory of your resurrection.
and the converse is true, for I must preach the whole word of God. The lack of it will take away. That's just the truth. Now, in closing, let's look at the resurrected body. He said, flesh and blood cannot inherit. Give me Luke chapter 24. Let's just quickly look at this. Or is it? Yeah, I think it's 24. And look at verses 36. This is Jesus. Yes, 36 to 43. I want to look at the resurrected. That's one, to me, it was one of the most exciting places in the Bible for me. You know, as a kid, you know, when I was growing up, I used to read all these Marvel comics, you know, about, you know, Thor and the X-Men and the Fantastic Four and remember the Human Torch. You know, and all this, you know, this is all fantasy. You know, all these things about all these guys. You know, there was one particular comic. They don't do it anymore. Space Ghost. I don't know if you ever watched it. You know, most people here might not. You know, when I was 7, 8, 9 years old, they used to show it on NTA and all of that. You know, and Space Ghost was a big, strong guy. You know, who could be invisible. You know, so he would show, then he'll become invisible, you know. And he was a good guy, you know, he was like Superman, you know, he used to help and fight the bad guys and all of that. But I still remember this stuck. Can you imagine how all this is stuck in my mind? When I read the resurrection, I'm going to contextualize what I'm saying. You know, it just reminds me what man is trying to grasp by fantasy, God has given to us in reality. Give the Lord a clap, bro. You see that space ghost? Interesting, the word ghost. We just mean spirit, because they didn't think of it like that. You know, the space ghost, whenever he goes invisible, if the sun comes, you will see two shadows, not one. Because the body was still material. You know, it's all science fiction. So that's how you say, there's somebody extra, somebody, you know, there's somebody else here. So it's not only the other guy who was there. You say, but how come? It's only one man, but you have two shadows. It means the other guy there is invisible. I remember that from when I was 6 years old. You know. Now, that is the beauty. Now, all that is fantasy. It is man trying to grab. All these things we read, you know, Superman, and the Fantastic Four, and Space Ghost, and all man trying. Hercules, King Arthur. Remember, that sword, that special Excalibur. All those things is all fantasy. Man trying to grab what inside their spirit they know is true. But they. Now let me show you this body. This is not fantasy. This is not Space Ghost. This is not Fantastic Four. This is not Iron Man. This is not Superman. This is the last Adam. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. And as they thus spake, open your mouth, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Let me just paraphrase here, you know, and add a small comment. Because of time, we will not go there. If you look at the example in John, the doors were locked. The doors were locked, but Jesus came without opening the door. So the resurrected body has the ability to move through material substance. Now that's not a mystery. How do you think your radio wave or the mobile phone wave, if there's a transmitter in my room now, you know, in my office, you know, Wi-Fi, is sending out EM signals, I can pick it on my mobile phone here or my iPad. It's going through the wall. Why? 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 You see this wall you see here? It's a wall. It looks to you solid, but it's not solid. It's amazing. This is a scientific fact. In every atom, do you understand? You got the nucleus, which is very tiny. Then you got the electrons, you know. Well, they're not really revolving, but don't let's get into all that. You know, you have a cloud of electrons. Let's just put it that way. You know, in between something. Majority of the volume is space. Empty space. So this world that looks solid is solid at the macroscopic level. That is at the level that you and I operate. Do you understand? But if you go down to the microscopic level, when you go down to the atoms and to the molecules, what you actually have is you have little nuclei, then you have electron clouds going around there, and a lot of space in between. So you now send a photon, an electromagnetic wave, that is operating. To him, he sees it as a big space. He just goes, phew, goes through. Jesus' resurrected body can operate in the physical and spiritual realm. So immediately he comes in here, he just moves on to the light realm, phew, comes through the door, and comes back into the physical realm. No problem. This is not science fiction. It's reality. Give the Lord another clap offering. You know, it is a shame. The church has presented our God as a stupid God. A God who rides donkeys and lived 2,000 years ago as a carpenter. No. The God we serve is the God who made heaven and earth. I was reading the other day, my personal Bible reading, it says, by wisdom he made the heavens. That you can write a thesis. You can write a thesis, a PhD thesis on that one verse. If you know anything about astronomy and astrology, do you know the wisdom it took to make the heavens? All the physics and all the engineering. And it is engineering. Oh my God! It is engineering. This earth is revolving like that. But it's tilted like this. There's a reason. It's tilted. So as it's going around the sun, it is also spinning around its own axis, and it must be inclined at a particular angle so it doesn't spin off. And then you come and tell me, that God, it says speak in tongues. I don't speak in tongues. The guy who knows more than you will ever dream to know. And as they thus speak, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Next verse. But they were terrified, as usual, carnal man, and affrighted. That's old English, you know, to just say afraid. You know, and they supposed that they had seen a spirit. What's wrong with seeing a spirit anyway? Oh my God. Religion. Next verse. And he said unto them, you know, Jesus, he had been with them for 3 years. He had taught them so much. They had seen so much. They had seen him walk on water. They had seen him turn water to wine. They had seen him raise the dead after 4 days. He didn't think that this should be amazed. This should not be bamboozling them. Why are you troubled? If he expected them not to be troubled, he would not ask the question. I didn't expect you to be troubled. What is troubling you about this? Exactly. And then spiritual things. Hey, three of these guys were with him on the Mount of Transfiguration, for heaven's sake. And they saw him transform from his physical form, and he took the glory of God. That glory was always there. But it was on the inside. He suddenly came out just for a few minutes. Hallelujah. Then they had an open vision of Moses and Elijah talking with them. So if you see glorified body, you shouldn't start misbehaving all over the whole place. Praise the Lord. He says, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Next verse. I got to finish this today. Behold, my hands and my feet. Now, watch this. That's why you need to look after this body. Whatever you do with it in this life, it is going to show in the next. The print of the nail was there. The print on his side, it was healed, but it was there. In our language, that means that you see the mark, the scar. Thank you. Behold, look at my hand. That's what he showed Thomas, doubting Thomas the other day. Now, watch this. That it is me, myself. Handle me. You can touch the resurrected body. It's physical and spiritual simultaneously. Give the Lord a clap, offering. That is a masterpiece of divine engineering. It is spiritual and physical simultaneously. Hybrid, thank you. Prof, no, hybrid technology. Hybrid. Oh! Whoa! Handle me and see. For a spirit, let me qualify this alone. Because it is a spirit. It's a spiritual body. This is what Paul meant when he says there is a spiritual body. This is the spiritual body. For a spirit, but it's not spirit alone. It's spirit and flesh simultaneously. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. So it had flesh. So you see the skin, the flesh. Then it had the bones inside. But it has no blood. What flows inside is the glory. That's what gives it its spiritual ability to move in the spiritual realm at the same time. Blood would have been the limiting factor. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. All the blood had drained out to save you. So when God raised it from the dead, he put glory in it. That's why we call it the glorified body. It's flesh and bone, but no blood. If it had blood, it would be limited to the physical. But because it has glory inside, the glory inside allows it to come out. And when it comes out and superimposed on the flesh, it cannot operate as a spirit. Then it can come right back and operate in the flesh. Now, I don't know about you, but I want that. Glory to God! Woo! This I will not throw away for a piece of pottage. Did you hear me? This I will not throw away for a piece of pottage. You can throw it away. You can throw it away. Depending on how you live, you can throw it away. Many Christians will not have a resurrected body. That's why flesh and blood will not inherit. They'll be here. They'll be born. They'll be saved. You understand? But they'll have a natural body. That's why they will need the leaves of the for the healing. This body doesn't need any healing. It's for the other guys. Okay. As you see me have. Next verse. You know. And when he had thus spoken, I am what Jah. You know, people. You know, he came through the door. He said, chill. That's today's language. He said, take it easy. It's all right. Munshe Miri. Munshaje. You know, look at, it's me. See. You know. He showed them his hands and his feet. This is very interesting. Contrast this to when he saw Mary. He didn't let Mary touch him. Because he hadn't gone to heaven as high priest. And he could not be ceremonially defiled. So that's why he didn't. He said, don't touch me. But when he came back the same evening, that was Sunday in the morning. This Sunday in the evening. Easter Sunday. We should talk more about this at Easter, shouldn't we? Instead of giving eggs all over the whole place. Come on, Shanua. We'll be playing with egg on Easter Sunday.
He showed them his hands and his feet. Next verse. And while they for joy, they believed, but they didn't want to believe. I wondered. He knew that they were still. He said unto them, have ye here any meat? Let's say it in today's language, food. Have ye any, do you have any food here? Then, next verse. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. Next verse. Now, this is the good part. And he took it and did eat before them. I'm going to close with this. The resurrected body can eat. That is why there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. Give the Lord a clap, offering. It's literal. It is literal. It's not just symbolic. It is literal because he said, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine. Until that day, I will drink it. And trust, they're going to serve wine. They're like wine. You will not be allowed to come to the marriage supper. Religion is a terrible thing. We're going to eat in heaven. We're going to drink in heaven. And to make it worse, we're going to drink wine. Real wine. Amen. The beauty of, in closing, the beauty of the resurrected body is that it can operate spiritual and physical simultaneously. That's what makes it so wonderful, you know. So, you see, how do I explain this mystery? I'm trying to make it as simple as possible. The second person of the Godhead stripped himself of his divine attributes temporarily for 33 years to become a man and took a part of the human nature, the human body. He will never shed it. When he was resurrected, he took his spiritual part back and put it back inside the flesh body. So he was now a God man. When you get born again, you now partake of the divine nature. If you are faithful to it, if you are faithful to it, and you grow and all of the other things and qualify, then at the resurrection, are you listening to me? You will now take the divine on top of the human. So you are now a man God. Jesus bridges the two. He now connects the divine with the man. And that's why he's going to have that body forever. No. Watch this. It is only those who have this kind of body that can reign with him. You know why? If you don't have this kind of body, there are places you won't be able to go to. Sorry. Hello. Even from ordinary astronomy, we know that. They want to go to Mars now. They are doing all the experiments and everything, you know, try and find. It will take 3 years for a rocket leaving here, and they have to be very careful. The one they did the other day, you know, to measure it so that it will land. Because if he misses it, you know, and it didn't go, he just goes straight into outer space, you know, and then they're trying to, you know, God is just looking, very interested, you know, he encourages them, you know. But you see, Mars is just the closest planet to us. You see, God planets outside. Jupiter and Uranus and all kinds of, you know, and that's just our own solar system. This solar system is just a very tiny part of our galaxy is called the Milky Way galaxy. Then our own galaxy is a tiny, very tiny part of the entire universe. And this is what we're going to reign over. So how are you going to get there without a glorified body? Let's just say you ain't going nowhere. You just stay here. You watch the video. But irin ko to faju avojuba abi, how do Yoruba people say it? Irin yo ta fojuba. I don't want people to be telling me when I get to heaven, who they dao. And I'll tell you the reason why I got close. People who cannot be trusted will not be given glorified bodies. There will never be another rebellion. So if that's why the outer, that's why God made the outer court. They won't go to hell, but they'll be here. Or wherever planet God decides to go and plant them in, and they stay there. They don't have the equipment to be able to move. They can't move. Because if you don't have a glorified body, you can't move above speed of light. And I just think you should never get to. You can't get there. Amen? But it's people, you know, but those people have been trusted. Says this, if we suffer with him, then shall we also reign with him. If we have been partakers of the mortal, then we'll be partakers of the immortal. It is very important to live your Christian life in the light of the reality of the resurrection. Let us pray. Talk to God. Don't let anybody fool you. You need to live your Christian life in the reality of the resurrection. Live a clean life. You're not living a holy life to impress some people. Or to maybe say, but brother, I holy go. Brother, I holy go. Who cares? You're planning for your resurrection. You're saving towards your resurrection. You're preparing. Every man that had this hope in him purifies himself even as he's pure. So you're doing these things for the right motive. So you can rule and reign with God. You can sit on the throne. You can operate with God in heaven. You can come down to the earth, operate with men. You can move to any planet or galaxy or anywhere. And all this whole mess that we see now, because if you look at the planets now, they're in a mess. But God did not create it like that. The Bible says he did not create it in vain. And that's why the Bible says that he will come and he will create a new heaven and a new earth. The old heaven that will be burnt up, then God will He's going to reconfigure and the whole thing is going to be beautiful. Can you imagine Jupiter being habitable? That's really what is meant by heaven. What are you doing? How are you living? Are you living only for now? Or are you living for the world to come? All heavens declare the glory of the risen Lord. Forever, forever you will be. Forever.
the other hand to God. The truth of the resurrection is the joker of Christianity. It's the game changer. You must live your Christian life in the light of that truth. So the difficulties and the vagaries of this life and the vicissitudes and the problems, and they come. Therefore, be ye steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, unmovable. See, if the resurrection is not real to you, you'll be easily moved. Any little thing, you get discouraged. Any little thing, you know. But if you know that your labor in God is not in vain, and even if no man, even if in this life nobody ever recognizes you, it doesn't matter. If nothing, if you don't gain anything in this life, it doesn't matter. Now, you will gain. The Bible says, God is profitable with the life that now is. You're going to gain in this life. Don't misunderstand me at all. But what I'm saying is that if in the interim, between now and when things start manifesting in your life that you want, if they haven't yet come, the reality of the resurrection keeps you steady. Keeps you steady. Put that hand up. Say, Father, we confess our sins, so we clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of the reality and the glory of the resurrection and the resurrected body. Oh God, I thank you for putting me into remembrance. I thank you for opening my eyes. My God and my Father, I purpose in my heart afresh today, by your mercy and by your grace, to live a life of purity by your blood, your word, and your spirit, so that I will obtain the very best resurrection. Oh God, I have come to understand by the books that how I live now will determine both the order and the glory of my resurrection. Therefore, I will not allow myself to be discouraged. I will not be distracted, but I will be steadfast, unmovable, unshakable in your ways, knowing that my labor for life, labor in the word, labor in prayer, my labor for you will not be and is not in vain, but will add to the glory of my resurrection. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. That is not a super clap offering. We worship you.